week and they left on Friday. So please pray for them that they'll have an awesome time and be able to celebrate with Stacy's family and have a wonderful, relaxing time there. We have a lot going on today, so I'm going to move right on. One thing, if you are visiting with us today, we welcome you. We thank you for your presence. And there's one thing that you could do for us. And if you would turn to the connection card in your bulletin. Now, this connection card tears out. You may have to fold it back and forth a couple times, but it does tear out. If you would fill that out, put your name, address, telephone number, contact information. That way we can greet you properly and say thank you so much for being here with us today. Also, if you would, when you do that, if you put it in the offering basket, that will be your gift to us, and we say thank you for doing that. If you're a regular attender or a member, if you would also fill this out so that we know that you are present and we can put that in our records. Don't forget the opposite side of this. It is a way you can get involved in the church, or if you're curious about something, that's a good way to find that out as well. Just put a check mark and one of the team leaders will be giving you a call. Notice the poinsettia insert. If you would like to purchase a poinsettia in honor or in memory of someone, please make sure you put the check in this, and on the check put poinsettia, and put this in the offering basket as well. That way we can do that, and then on later on in Advent and on Christmas Eve, we will put an insert in the bulletin saying who those were in honor of or who they were dedicated to. Also, don't forget Cliff's Notes, our study guide for this week. You can take this home with you, put it beside your prayer chair, and on the back of your bulletin are joys and concerns and folks that you can pray for. Please take this home along with this. This is a great way to start your day. Put it beside what I call your prayer chair, and that way you have names to lift up in prayer. All right. Also, if you look right back there, you see the red boxes. You saw them when they came in. Melissa wanted to lift that up to you before she sends all that material back, and you are more than welcome to purchase those books for your kids or your grandkids or your neighbor's kids or whatever you would like. That will support the preschool. There's also a way you can get online and do that as well, and those little postcards are on the table out there that have the poinsettia on it. Also, we have an angel tree out there. Don't forget our angel tree. Very important. These are families in the community who are in need of they need us to be able to have a Christmas. And these are folks that have been vetted, so we know that there won't be repeats and such. So that might help you in what you can get them. There are clothes, there are toys, and one of the cards is food. If you could give Jamie that money for food, and that way her and her team will go and purchase the same food for each family, all three families. One thing, it needs to be brought back this next Sunday, the 11th. Sunday the 11th, okay? And what we need you to do is it needs to be wrapped. And there's like Christmas tree, there's a snowman, and there's another figure, each representing a family. And that needs to be taped to the outside of the wrapped package. Does that make sense to everybody? That way we understand what family it goes to and everything. So I just want to thank you in advance, because that is one way that these families will be able to have a Christmas. And so thank you so much in that regard. One more thing, and then I'll have some folks to come forward. We have the 160th ornament that is for sale out here. Sharon is out here selling those, and we would really like you to purchase one of those. They make a great gift. They are not only for Christmas tree, although they would be beautiful in that way. You can hang them in your window. That's where we've had ours for a while. You can also get little stands that you can hang it on a coffee table or something. It's just in remembrance of 160 years of ministry in this church. It's a very classy ornament, and I invite you to take a look at those and possibly take one home this week. So, all right, we have an announcement here. If you guys would like to come on up, they have a challenge that I'm excited about. Get in front of the mic there so people can hear you.
Oh, they can hear me, right?
Yeah, but the radio can't. You want the radio to hear you, don't you?
That's one thing the Lord blessed
me
with. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Have just a little bit of announcement. On October 26th at 3:31 a.m., someone opened a page on Facebook. It was called Free Store. It is an amazing site. I can't believe how many blessings I have received from it personally. But we have five pages of families here that the store has been helping. And it has been laid on our hearts to do a couple of things. One thing we would like to do for these families is provide a Christmas dinner. They are all families in need. They may be on public assistance. I don't know that for sure. They don't tell us that.
We don't care.
We don't care. But I know personally that if Raymond and I had to buy a meal on our, it would take half of our monthly food budget to buy that meal for Christmas. I mean, Thanksgiving was $50. And I know these people are probably in the same situation. So we would like to provide a Christmas dinner.
No, we are providing
Excuse me, a Christmas dinner.
It's a God thing, right?
We are providing them a Christmas dinner. What we would like is to be able to use the First United Methodist Church Fellowship Hall to do that. We are also going to do that on the night of the candlelight service and invite all of those families to our candlelight service. And if you've ever been to one of those, it's amazing, and I know that they will be touched by that as well.
4 p.m.
Jody, you were on.
I'm on. Cool. Hi, everybody. One of the things that we do on the free store is we have been dubbed the angels. We certainly are not angels, but we have been dubbed as such. What we do is somebody puts a need out there and somebody else fills a need. There's never, ever, ever any money ever exchanged.
It's all free.
It's all free. We started out with 3 people. We now have over 271 members on free store. That's just this community. That is so amazing. So, we're taking it up another notch for Christmas. These are all moms, families, elderly
single
people, mostly single moms, who cannot afford to provide for their kids. And they have amazingly humbled themselves. And I know what it's like with 10 kids. But they've humbled themselves to come onto the site and say, I can't provide for my kids for Christmas. And, well, I'll tell you, the blessings are insane. I mean, they're just insane. It's so cool. It is so exhilarating. It has put the Christ back in Christmas for us.
Awesome. Yes.
It's amazing. And for so many
fact,
other
we
people.
Have to, we, from time to time, we have to remind people that it's okay to say Christmas.
It's really okay, you
it's
know.
It's okay. You can write Christmas on the site.
Right. And you can say thank God, you know.
Yes.
At any rate, so tonight at 6 p.m., there's about 6 of us who are going to be doing a mass text and a mass email to everyone we know. But before that happens, we wanted to throw the challenge out to our home church. We are looking to gather 100 bags in 100 hours. 100 bags in 100 hours. These bags are not to be new items. They're to simply be excess from your heart that you have around your home. The bag needs to be a theme bag. So if you're going to make a bag of women's size medium, or queen size sheets, or whatever. And it needs to be just put on the outside in a black magic marker, or crayon, or blood, or whatever you have. Just what is inside the bag. But
yeah,
it needs to be a theme bag, because we really are not going to have the time to sift through everything and find sizes, okay? All that you're going to need to do is to get in touch with either Debbie or myself, go on to Free Store, or better yet, just email us or call us or something.
That's
get
fine.
With us.
Whatever.
And say, hey, we have a bag. Don't bring them here. There's enough going on here. Get a hold of us. We will come and get the bag. We'll meet you somewhere. We'll come to your house. We'll get on the sleigh and, you know, whatever it takes. 100 bags in 100 hours. Okay? That means starting Monday morning and ends 100 hours later, which is just about Friday. We so know that we're going to have far more than 100 bags. I think we have like 40 bags already between me and Lisa Durflinger, so, you know, so we're good to go. But that is what we're looking to do. And those bags, together with everything else, all of the blessings that we have, are going to be laid out for everyone on Christmas Eve.
On awesome. Christmas Eve.
Thank you, ladies.
God bless everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, yes.
You know, isn't it obvious when God lays something on someone's heart? They were so excited they were interrupting each other. Did you notice that? Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Tracy, would you please come forward at this time for our generosity moment?
I said in the first service, I am the last of the generosity moments, and I think they were a little too excited. I chose the last spot because I didn't know what I was going to talk about. About Wednesday, I still didn't know what I was going to talk about. And then I'd gotten an email from a friend of mine who I went to high school with, who occasionally sends me emails, and this one, the subject was be thankful. So I opened it, thinking it might be a prayer request or something like that, but no, it was a chain letter. Then I normally hit delete, but for some reason I didn't. I read this one, and I liked it. So I printed it off, and I'm going to read it to you. It's called You Reap What You Sow. Good morning, said a woman as she walked up to the main city. Good morning, said a woman as she walked up to a man sitting on the ground. The man slowly looked up. This was a woman clearly accustomed to the finer things in life. Her coat was new. She looked like she had never missed a meal in her life. His first thought was that she wanted to make fun of him, like so many others had done before. Leave me alone, he growled. To his amazement, the woman continued standing. She was smiling. Her even white teeth displayed in dazzling rows. Are you hungry, she asked. No, he answered sarcastically. I've just come from dining with the president. Now go away. The woman's smile became even broader. Suddenly, the man felt a gentle hand under his arm. What are you doing, lady? The man asked angrily. I said to leave me alone. Just then, a policeman came up. Is there any problem, ma'am? He asked. No problem, officer, the woman answered. I'm just trying to get this man to his feet. Will you help me? The officer scratched his head. Well, that's old Jack. He's been a fixture around here for a couple of years. What do you want with him? See that cafeteria over there, she asked. I'm going to get him something to eat and get him out of the cold for a while. Are you crazy, lady? The homeless man resisted. I don't want to go in there. Then he felt the strong hands grab his other arm and lift him up. Let me go, officer. I didn't do anything. This is a good deal for you, Jack, the officer answered. Don't blow it. Finally, with some difficulty, the woman and the police officer got Jack into the cafeteria and set him at a table in a remote corner. It was in the middle of the morning, so the breakfast crowd had already left and the lunch crowd hasn't gotten there yet. The manager strolled across the cafeteria by his table. What's going on, officer? Is this man in trouble? The lady brought this man here to be fed, the policeman answered. Not in here, the manager replied angrily. Having a person like this in here is bad for business. Old Jack smiled a toothless grin. See, lady, I told you. Now, if you let me go, I didn't want to come here in the first place. The woman turned to the cafeteria manager and smiled. Sir, are you familiar with Edie and Associates, the banking firm down the street? Of course I am, the manager answered impatiently. They hold their weekly meetings here in one of my banquet rooms. And do you make a godly amount of money providing food at these weekly meetings? Well, what business is that of yours? I, sir, am Penelope Edie, president and CEO of the company. Oh. The woman smiled again. I thought that might make a difference. She glanced at the cop, who was busy stifling a giggle. Would you like to join us for a cup of coffee, officer? No, thanks. I'm on duty. Then perhaps a cup to go. Yes, ma'am, that would be very nice. The cafeteria manager turned on his heel. I'll get your coffee for you right away, officer. The officer watched him walk away. You certainly put him in his place, he said. That was not my intent. Believe it or not, I have a reason for all of this. She sat down at a table across from her amazed dinner guest. She stared at him intently. Jack, do you remember me? Old Jack searched her face with his old roomy eyes. I think so. I mean, you look familiar. I'm a little older, perhaps, she said. Maybe I filled out a little more than in my younger days when you worked here. And then I came through that very door, cold and hungry. Ma'am, the officer said questioningly. He couldn't believe that such a magnificently turned-out woman could have ever been hungry. I was just out of college, the woman began. I had come to the city to look for a job, but I couldn't find anything. Finally, I was down on my last few cents, and I had been kicked out of my apartment. I walked the streets for days. It was February, and I was cold and nearly starving. I saw this place and walked in on the off chance I might find something to eat. Jack lit up with a smile. Now I remember, he said. I was behind the serving counter. You came up and asked me if you could work for something to eat. I said that was against company policy. I know, the woman continued. Then you made the biggest roast beef sandwich that I had ever seen, gave me a cup of coffee, and told me to go over to a corner table and enjoy it. I was afraid that you would get into trouble. Then I looked over and saw you put the price of my food in the register, and I knew that everything would be okay. So you started your own business, old Jack said. I got a job that very afternoon and worked my way up. Eventually, I started my own business that, with the help of God, prospered. She opened her purse, pulled out a business card. When you are finished here, I want you to pay a visit to Mr. Lyons. He's the personnel director of my company. I'll go talk to him now, and I'm certain he'll find something for you to do around the office. She smiled. I think he might even find the funds to give you an advance so that you can buy some clothes and get a place to live until you get on your feet. If you ever need anything, my door is always open. There were tears in the old man's eyes. How can I ever thank you, he said. Don't thank me, the woman answered. To God goes the glory. He led me to you. Outside the cafeteria, the officer and the woman paused at the entrance before going on their separate ways. Thank you for all of your help, officer, she said. On the contrary, Mrs. Eady, he answered, thank you. I saw a miracle today, something that I will never forget. And thank you for the coffee. Just think, someone that you are kind to in the name of the Lord someday may be one of the most important people in the world. But if not, that person never thinks, and that person never thanks you for being kind. You will still have your eternal reward in heaven. Always try to praise people who help you and who have showed you the way of life. It will never get old. Today is Generosity Sunday. And we were all supposed to have brought our little pledge cards that we're going to give today. And being generous and helping others is part of that is giving to our church so that through our ministries, we can help other people as well. I know it's hard sometimes to fill out these pledge cards, and I understand that. I myself, you know, for several years didn't fill out a pledge card because I always thought, what if? What if somebody gets sick and I have a lot of medical bills? What if somebody loses their job? What if? And then I thought, you know, God does provide. This is not a promise between you and the church. It's a promise between you and your God. And God does provide. And it's okay. You know, these are uncertain times, and we realize that things change in people's lives. And things happen, and that's okay. There's no pledge police. So, you know, if you put something on there that you truly think you can do today and something happens and you can't, that's okay too. You know, God asks us to give generously and give gratefully and give what we can. And that's all we're asking you to do. And by filling out these cards after working with the church for, you know, a couple of years, now I understand even more that it's really important because the church has to operate like a business, and they have to form a budget. They have to figure out how much they can spend on advertising, how much they can spend on their ministries, how much they can pay their personnel. And by filling out these cards, it really helps us to be able to do that. And it also makes you a little bit more accountable for what you're going to do and what you want to do. And that's just all that we ask, that you think about it and you pray about it. And you give your best gift and let us know what you think that might be. Today, during communion, there will be a basket sitting up here for you when you come up that you can put your pledge cards in that basket. And we can get your pledges from there. If you didn't bring your pledge cards, there's some extras out there that we can get to you. Or if you're still just a little bit not quite ready and not sure what you want to do, go home and pray about it. That's okay, too. There's an envelope, and you can stick those in the mail, or you can bring them by the church office, and just think about it and give your best gift. Thank you.
Thank you, Tracy.
Yes, I have to say, I want to say thank you so much. Everyone who is a regular attender or a member received a letter from me, or you should have. If you didn't, let us know so we can get you one. But it's just a thank you to say how much I appreciate what you do in the ministries of this church. It is amazing. If you're removed from the life of the church throughout the week, I think you would be really surprised, and I hope pleasantly surprised, what this church does for this community through its ministries. And so I just want you to know how grateful I am to you, those who can and do support the ministries of this church. It is very important for this community. So anyway, we will have a prayer, and then we'll ask the Lows to come up to do our Advent wreath, and then we will continue with our service at that time. Let's have a prayer. Holy God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for all of these wonderful people who gathered to celebrate you, to celebrate what you have done in their life, to celebrate the amazing gifts that you have given to them, Lord. I ask, God, that as we gather together, that you anoint us fully with your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit may come into this place as a mighty wind, that you would comfort us, strengthen us, encourage us, comfort us, know that our sins are forgiven. Help us go from this place renewed, Lord. Help us be your hands and your feet, your voice in this community. As we gather together, Lord, asking for your presence, we ask that your presence is so strong that all evil and negative thoughts run scared from this place, so that we can truly focus on you, the only one that really matters. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Lows, please come forward and do our Advent wreath for this morning. Okay. There you go.
On the second Sunday of Advent, we light the Bethlehem candle. We light this candle as a symbol of proclamation. May the word sent from God through the prophets lead us the way to salvation. O come, Emmanuel. In Luke 2, verses 4 to 7, it says, Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. Shalom is a way of saying hello and goodbye in the Hebrew language. It means peace. To the prophets and to Jesus, shalom also meant justice, righteousness, freedom, and everything that would bring final harmony among all human beings, all living creatures, and God. Shalom is the ultimate salvation for God's creation. Is this an impossible dream? Not if we believe that the Word is the full creative energy of God at work in the world. Let us pray. Dear God, as we try to get our own lives together, help us glimpse the master pattern of harmony that you intend for your creation. Shalom, God. This is our greeting, and this is our prayer. Amen. Amen. Please join us as we sing the second verse of O Come, Emmanuel.
To Work. Eat. Sleep. Work. Work. Sleep. Work. Drive. Eat. Sleep. Work. Work. Play. Eat. Sleep. Work. Eat. Watch. Work. Drive. Watch. Eat. Work. Talk. 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 Work. Watch. Eat. Work. Sleep. Work. Sleep. Work. Sleep. Work. Sleep. Work. Sleep. Work. Watch. Play. Sleep. Eat. Work. Sleep. Eat. Work. Play. Eat. Work. Watch. Sleep. Work. Sleep. Work. Sleep. Work. Sleep. Work. Stop.
To surrender our lives.
Together in community. No matter how bad you think you are invited to be in community with God. Remember God, Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
You know, no texting during worship here.
It on. Now it's on.
Okay, almost. If I get this level, then I can go. And this isn't Hungry Hungry Birds. I don't know. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Come on, come on, come on. Well, oh. No, no, it's just Ray. I'm not going to talk to him. Okay.
Hey, listen, you've been to Bible school. You know about Jesus. Okay, tell them about Jesus.
Jesus loves everybody.
Good. That's good. Keep going. Keep going. You can do it. You can.
Hey,
it.
You're the person who's supposed to do it.
Yes. Oh, darn it. Now you made me lose.
Hey, it's your fault.
Okay.
You're not supposed to be playing on your phone.
I'm not.
No.
And who said so? Me. I'm an adult.
God said so.
See this thing? I want to tell you a true story. My granddaughter's got me hooked on playing a game on my new phone.
I got this phone mostly because it's a camera, and I can take videos and cameras and stuff like that. And I said, oh, okay, I like playing this little game. I'm just going to sit down. Sometimes during the day, I need just to sit down and take a break, you know, and remember where I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's a break time. And sometimes I would spend that with my prayer book, with the Bible and everything. But this time I thought I was going to relax, and I started playing this game. I ignored a phone call, and before I knew it, it wasn't just 2 minutes in prayer with God. I lost 20 minutes, 20 whole minutes. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot, but when you do it 3 or 4 times a day, and then you don't want to take phone calls, you don't want to answer when people are calling you when it might be important. These things are not, you know, they're good, they're fun, they're technology. But how we spend our time is critical in your life. You have to have enough sleep, don't you? That takes time. You need to eat and chew your food 30 times each bite. Yes, and that takes time. Okay, get over yourself, Pastor. It takes time to do that. It takes time to pray. And I took my time away from God to play that game. Some people have to check the scores of the latest game while they're sitting in church. Some people have to make sure that that email got sent, and if they got another one, they have to answer it and text real quietly while they're listening and doing stuff. That's not giving your full attention to the Lord, is it? And after all, whose birthday are we going to be celebrating?
Jesus.
Very good. Say it again.
Jesus.
Louder.
Jesus is.
That's right. We're celebrating Jesus' birthday. As a matter of fact, we need to remember that he's the reason for the season, that we aren't the ones who are supposed to get the gifts. We're supposed to be giving the gifts. Now, we've been talking before this minister series on extravagant generosity, right? What was the one thing that I said that you could do? What, you could share your time. You could share your time by what? What was it?
Teeth,
thank you. Yes, by showing your teeth, and that's what is that?
Smiling.
A smile is something free and easy for all of us to give. It makes people happy. It sets up your endorphins and everything, and that takes time to remember to smile, and it takes time to remember to pray. Paul was telling the Ephesians, and I just closed it up, but it said, he said, be very careful then how you live, making the most of every opportunity. Well, it's okay to play a game and relax once in a while. But it's more important to spend time with our Lord and thanking him for his son Jesus. So I have to take my prayer time back and make that important for me. Okay? I think it's a good thing for all of us to learn not to let our games and our technology absorb our whole life, because we are to love one another and smile. Let me see the smiles. Oh, good. Now, you know, I worry terribly about your sugar level. So I have something here for you. And there was a thing on the back, and you should, yes. Do you know where, originally when they brought trees in to start celebrating Christmas and everything, they decorated the trees with food and candy. And what?
The reds for the blood and the whites for the flesh.
Thank you. I never went there with that before, but thank you for that information. Very nice. But what I know is who's standing up there? What Joseph, and what is he carrying? What does he have in his hand?
It says a shepherd's crook.
That's what it's called. It's called a shepherd's crook. And that's what the candy canes remind us of, the shepherd's crooks, okay? So after we collect our generous money from people by giving them generous smiles, you can all have a generous candy cane. I'm being nice to you. Okay, that's fine. Let's pray. Everybody repeat after me. Here we go. Dear God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Help us use our time and be generous for you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. All God's people said, Amen. Amen.
All right, as the kids collect change for missions and apportionments, we come on and join with us as we sing.
When I think of you, I see you dancing, you're dancing. When I think of you, I hear you singing to me. When I think of you, I hear you.
Get your Bibles out for me today. Hi, how are you? Our scripture for today is Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now, for some of you, this is a really obvious question, but for others, we may need some help. So where is Matthew in the Bible, Old or New Testament? New Testament, that's right. It's the first book of the New Testament. So turn to about the back third of your Bible, and it should be right there. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Once you find that, would you close the Bible on your finger and stand with me this morning? And let's remind ourselves of what these books are that we're holding in our hands. Amen? All right. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me if you would, and let us turn to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. You know, every year as I look at Scripture around the story of Jesus' birth, it always amazes me how sparse Scripture is around Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. You could almost ask the question, Joseph? Who is Joseph? Right? I mean, think about it. From Scripture, what is it that we know about Joseph? We know that Joseph was engaged or betrothed to Mary. That sounds like a fancy word, doesn't it? But listen, to be engaged in the Jewish society was not anything like our society. Engagement was usually arranged through the fathers of each family. Roman Catholic tradition has usually made Joseph quite a bit older than Mary, maybe even a grandfather figure. You might be able to see that in some of your creches that you have at home or your nativity scenes. Maybe Joseph has a gray beard in some of those nativity scenes. So just you might want to look at that. If that's the case, probably was made with artists that had a Roman Catholic background. But anyway, that was their tradition. But usually in the culture of the day, the couple was between 12 and 13, 14 years old when this arrangement was made. Engagement was a two-step contract and transfer of property, transferring legal authority of the woman from the father to the groom. To be engaged in Jewish society was to be married, except for the fact they did not live together, nor did they consummate the marriage, but lived in their parents' household. Now, notice that verse 19 even calls Joseph Mary's husband. So even though in our book they were just engaged, they were not married yet, Joseph was still considered Mary's husband. Now, the marriage ceremony was 1 to 2 years later, however long the arrangement was to be, and to break this contract was considered a divorce. To break this contract was considered a divorce. Adultery for either could mean death. The point is, they took engagement way more seriously than any people in our society, than many people in our society take marriage, right? They took their engagement more seriously than many in our society take marriage. Now, Scripture also tells us that he was of the lineage of David, a strong Jewish lineage. And it says also that Joseph was a righteous man following the laws of God. Even more than that, he followed his heart, or the heart of God's law, showing love and mercy. Now, one more thing that most are fairly confident from Scripture that we can assume about Joseph is in Scripture like chapter 6, verse 3, which you may want to write down and look at later, is that Joseph was a carpenter. Joseph was a carpenter. Now, we've talked in the past about the predicament that Joseph was in, finding out Mary was pregnant. Can you imagine in your own personal life the turmoil, the hurt, the frustration, and the anger? I mean, think about it. Maybe if you're a woman, maybe your engaged partner got someone else pregnant or was having an affair with someone else when you were engaged. Maybe if you're a man, maybe you're person that you were engaged with was having an affair with another man. Think about if that has happened to you. Remember back to how hurt you felt, how betrayed you felt in that relationship. On the other hand, maybe your betrayal is a business relationship. Maybe you felt betrayed from a business standpoint, or a very good friend you felt betrayed you. Whatever it is, you understand some of the turmoil, the hurt, the frustration, and yes, what, guys? Anger, right? That can happen in these situations. He thought he could trust her, and now he felt so betrayed. And I guess one question I want to start with you today is, have you ever in your life felt betrayed? Have you ever felt betrayed? In Joseph's situation, he knew that the child was not his, and therefore she must have committed adultery. Both knew the possible consequence of adultery was to be stoned to death. Now, youth, that doesn't mean that she smoked marijuana. All right? In this society, back in the Hebrew society, being stoned to death. Now, think about this. Legally, Joseph and his family or whoever, the city leaders, could have picked up rocks and thrown them at Mary until she was dead. Legally. Because, obviously, she committed adultery. As a matter of fact, if either one were found to have committed adultery, that same punishment could exist. So both knew the possible consequence of adultery. Joseph loved Mary and wanted to believe her, but he couldn't. I mean, think about it. He must have been absolutely devastated. After he thought about this situation, he realized that if he investigated the pregnancy, it would not only ruin him, but could also mean the death and or disgrace of Mary, the one he loved. Finally, he came to the decision to put her away quietly so not to disgrace her. And as he came to that decision, Matthew tells us that when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now let's think about this for a moment. When you have been in real anguish over something in your life, whatever that might be, have you ever dreamed about that problem? Maybe you've even been sitting over coffee in the morning and you find yourself daydreaming about that issue in your life. Now, if it's a deep enough concern, if it is truly a very a deep problem in your life, which this would be in Joseph's life, maybe you even dreamed about it and you might even call it a nightmare. Right? On the funny side of things, preachers, one of their nightmares, and probably teachers, I don't know, but I know speakers in general, guess what their biggest nightmare is? To get up in front of people and find you're standing there in your underwear, right? Yeah, that's terrible. Can you imagine? And you're going, in your dream, you're going, "Holy cow, I don't remember. How did this happen?" Right? But on a more serious note, think about this. You've been there whenever you've been in a terrible situation in your life or something that you're really stressed about. You dream about it. You daydream about it. Whatever it is, whether it's a night dream or a daydream, you think about it. And I guess a question that I have for you is, do you do what your dreams tell you to do? Do you do what your dreams tell you to do? Have you ever even considered carrying through with it? How do you know if it's your imagination or if it's something that you really need to do? How do you know? Now, I want to backtrack just a little because something that is often hard for us to understand is what Joseph was going through right here. Now, please, stick with me. Have you ever taken a journey that wasn't the one you had planned on? Have you ever taken a journey that wasn't the one that you had planned? It wasn't the journey that you wanted to take. Have you ever been on a journey and you find yourself walking down a road that you had not planned on walking down? Yes, no, maybe. Are you with me this morning? If you haven't, I need to know how you did that in your life. So you'll be preaching next week. But it's a journey that felt like the worst journey of your life. Been there? Done that? Got the t-shirt? I want you to think about this. At that very moment when Joseph felt his lowest, God was at work in Mary's womb doing the greatest thing God had done since the creation of the human race. Have you ever thought about that? When Joseph was feeling his lowest, when he realized he was walking down that road that he really hadn't planned on walking down, right? God was at work in Mary's womb doing the greatest thing he had done since the creation of the human race. God was orchestrating the birth of the Savior, and God wanted Joseph to play a critical role in his plan. But you know what? God's not going to force the issue, is he? God didn't walk up to Joseph in that dream and say, Joseph, you will do this. Do you understand that? No. What did God say? Don't be afraid, Joseph. How many times does God say that in Scripture? Don't be afraid. Right? Don't be afraid. Something amazing was about to happen, but Joseph couldn't see it right yet, could he? As you think back on your darkest, toughest moments, folks, in retrospect, can you see God at work in that situation? Whenever you think back over your life, and maybe for some of you it's still too close, but as you think back of things that are farther away, can you think back to the darkest moments of your life and you're realizing God was working in your life in those moments? And maybe God was doing for you in that moment the greatest thing that's ever been done in your life. You ever thought about that? Like Paul says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. When life gets hard and even painful, we would do well, folks, to remember Joseph. Well, we don't know what kind of dream Joseph had, but this dream must have been exceptionally vivid, because what did Joseph do? When he awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Jesus. So this morning, I think there are a couple of important points very quickly here that we should hear. Number one, God totally invaded Joseph and Mary's life. How about us? Are there times when our lives seem to be invaded upon? Think about Joseph and Mary. They had it planned, right? Hebrew people of all kinds of all cultures, they knew exactly what was going to happen, right? They knew it. They even prophesied, so they knew what was going to happen beyond their realm of understanding, didn't they, right? Yeah, so they knew what the next year was going to unfold. And God went, Not yet, Joseph. Not yet, Mary. God totally invaded their lives. They had their own lives planned out and they were excited about, and God totally disrupted those plans. Two, Joseph obeyed. He did what God asked him to do. He listened and changed his plans for God. God didn't do it on its own. That's the cool thing. God depended on Joseph to say yes. God depended on Joseph to even name Jesus. And Jesus means He will save. Not only did He name Jesus, but since Joseph adopted Jesus and raised Him as his own, Jesus was in the Davidic line, which allowed Scripture and the prophets' words to be fulfilled for all creation. So what can we learn from Joseph? Let's answer that by asking another question. In our busy lives, do we allow God in? Well, I'm here, Eric. Praise God. I am so glad you're here. Thank you for being here. I hope you invite friends to be here next week. But I'm talking about from when you get up until you lay your head back down on a pillow at night? In your busy life, do you allow God in? Do we listen and change our plans for God? You see, the thing about God and all through Scripture, yeah, it's a trick to listen. But many times, most of the times, the bigger trick is to take that listening and what? Do it. Do it. So do we obey God? Do we do something? Can God use us in God's salvation plans, or do we shut God out and with our own wants? You see, there's more than just listening. We always have to do something, showing God and others our obedience to God. As we wait for our remembering of God's advent into human history, I call us to listen and change our plans for God, and then obey and do what God calls us to do. You see, as Christ followers, we are called to be God's presence in the world. We are called to be signs of Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God's presence in the world, and to be visible reminders of hope. Think about that. We, you and me, are to be visible reminders of hope in our families, in our communities, in this world. All of us know people who are walking through tough times, don't we? Who feel overwhelmed. Totally overwhelmed in their life in one way or another. How will those people know that God is with them? How will God know that those people are not alone if we don't embody God's love and presence to them? How will they know? We are called to show by our actions and our words the love of Christ, just as Joseph did. We are called to act as a reminder that God is with you, to come along beside you. Whoever that is in your life, you need to remind them that God is with them, to come along beside them and say, listen, I am here to remind you that God has not forgotten you. When's the last time you've been able to say that to a person? I am here to remind you that God has not forgotten you. Think of the power in those words. One thing... Whenever I have the blessing of being present when someone passes away, or even if it's an imminent thing, we don't know for sure when it's going to happen, I've made it a practice over my ministry to say one specific thing to them. And my prayer is that they remember that, and many times it's the last thing that they hear before they pass away. Remember so-and-so. God loves you, and God is right here with you. It is amazing to me how people relax when they hear those words. It makes chills go down my back right now just thinking about experiences I've had when I say that to people, and it's not me, it's God. They just relax, realizing that God is present with them. Folks, when have you let someone know in your life that God is with them? As Christ followers, we are to let everyone know that God is with them, that God has not forgotten them. And we are the evidence of that. Amen? Let's pray. Holy God, we celebrate you today. We thank you, God, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, even for the responsibility we have as Christ followers to be your hands and your feet and your voice to our friends, to our family, to this community, to the world, God. Fill us full of your Spirit. As we leave this place, may we be empowered to be you to others. Anoint us fully, God. Help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you are able, would you please stand? Let us sing a couple verses of Here I Am to worship. Prepare your hearts and minds for holy communion. Today we celebrate something that was given to us many years ago on what we think of as the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. As they celebrated the Passover meal, which was when God saved them from the angel of death by the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost, this meal celebrates Jesus and his blood shed for our sins as the blood of the Lamb that's on our doorpost. The idea is that in a spiritual sense, every time we eat this bread and drink this juice, we become more and more like Christ. We are reminded of what God did for us through his Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And it is to help us remember that God is with us. We are not alone. Amen. So today, as you come forward and eat this bread, remember, this represents the body of Christ, broken for you and for me. This juice represents the blood shed by Jesus to forgive us of our sins, to forgive the world of its sins. Here at First Church, we serve communion in two different ways. We have our the little cups and the wafers, as well as bread and juice. With the bread and the juice, you dip it and then eat it. It's called intinction. All are welcome to come forward in the United Methodist Church who are searching for a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. You are welcome to stand at the altars with our poinsettias. It will be hard to kneel, but you are welcome to stand there and pray and give to our benevolence fund as well in that way. Let us pray. Holy God, as we come forward today, we ask for your powerful anointing to be upon these elements. In Jesus' name, Lord, anoint this bread and this juice with the Holy Spirit. May your Spirit be around and underneath and above and throughout this bread and this juice. So that as we eat this bread and drink this juice, Lord, we celebrate you until Jesus comes again. We are reminded that you are constantly with us, no matter how deep our depression, no matter how bad our troubles, no matter how glorious this time is in our life. You are present with us. And we give you thanks, God, that there are people around us like this church to remind us of your presence. Fill us, God, with you. Help us represent you well in this world. And now, Lord, we say the prayer that Jesus, your Son, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please focus your hearts and your minds as we serve each other up here, and then follow the ushers as they serve you.